This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Now, some little while ago, we had a regional Out Games here in Melbourne. And as part of the Out Games system, you always have a human rights conference attached. The one we had in Melbourne was actually pretty successful. The next one is coming up. It's the second Asia Pacific Out Games, and it's taking place down in Wellington in New Zealand in March. And joining me on the line now, we have the convener of that human rights conference, Barry Taylor. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
How's life down in the land of the long white cloud today?
Well, it's actually not too bad. We've even got some sunshine.
Well, you're lucky. We had a little bit, but I think we're going back to rain now. Now, Out Games Conference. First off, Barry, for the listeners who don't know, why does Out Games include a human rights conference?
Well, one of the traditions of, in fact, at the Gay Games in Sydney was the first one where there was a human rights conference, and it was so successful that the Out Games then took it on as part of it, is that the whole idea of the Out Games was it was more than just a sporting event. It was a celebration of all that we are as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex people. And so, therefore, it has the sporting program, it has an arts and cultural program, but also it's a recognition that, in fact, a lot of what we have done has come through has been because sometimes about the discrimination of others and the impact that has had and the resiliency that we've developed. So our human rights is an important part of our whole well-being, and so the conference is a chance for us to focus on the human rights issues for our communities.
Do we have any particular themes emerging as to what the human rights issues are in our region?
Well, once again, what it is it's a real variety. So, for instance, in countries like Australia and New Zealand, where decriminalisation and anti-discrimination legislation is already there, it's more about issues like adoption and marriage and how do we experience the full citizenship, whereas for other countries, such as in Nepal and in other places, it's all about basic human rights and recognition, protection from violence. So it manifests itself in different ways in which human rights are violated. So there are different things. I think the two things that come out of it and from the number of presentations is that we are an incredibly resilient people. It's almost like no one is going to fight for our rights but ourselves. So we have pulled our sleeves up and we have done it throughout. And when we look at the number of people throughout the years who have championed our rights and our communities, that's what's still happening. People are doing it at different levels, with different levels of passion, but it's still an issue. The second theme that comes out is that we cannot dismiss the impact that discrimination or invalidation has on people's well-being, whether it's mental health issues, suicide, whether it's just around protection from violence, whether it's bullying in a school, through to the sense of rejection from family or from a community because of my sexuality.
Now, one of the things you mentioned on your website is something called the Yogyakarta Principles. What are the Yogyakarta Principles?
Yes, this is very important. This is part of an international agreement and through all the human rights organisations, the National Human Rights Organisation, with Australia as part of that, through the Human Rights Commission, have been meeting over the last few years to say is what are the principles that we say we would want to promote for issues around discrimination, around sexual orientation and sexual identity. And so what they have come up with is a range of principles covering the issues of basic human rights and principles. And what they are doing is working with governments and major NGOs saying these are the basic principles. So if we were to say, is this country have got these human rights, we would be looking at the adherence to the Yogyakarta principles.
Right. Now, you've got quite an interesting range of speakers lined up for this conference. The one who leaps out at me, because I've reported on what he's been doing for quite some time now, is Sunil Pant from Nepal. He's a very interesting character.
Yes, you know, a man who once again has been dynamic in setting up both the Blue Diamond Society and being a constant advocate for human rights in a country at times has been hostile, and is now a member of their General Assembly, at times still a tireless voice. But I think we have a range of speakers who are there. We have Fatih Mutumban, who is a respected, for instance, he's a United Nations human rights visitor in North Korea. An academic, a lawyer, who has been one of the major developers of the Yogyakarta principles and who has got a lot of thinking around human rights and the law. Geeta Mishra from India has done a lot of work with women and in women's movement stuff in India and internationally.
Yeah, also in New York, I understand, too.
Yes, based, does work there and in New York. We have Grace Poor, who works for the International Gay Lesbian Rights Organization based in New York, but comes from Malaysia and has done some very dynamic work. Is also a film producer and has created actually a documentary about how you can apply the Yogyakarta principles to community settings and things.
And you also have someone from Aboriginal community here, Annette Zabaras from the Wurundjeri people.
That's right, from Victoria too. So that's great that Annette's coming along to that. And as well as that, we have Indigenous speakers from New Zealand. So we think it's really important that those Indigenous voices and their experiences of sexuality are heard as part of it. One of the themes that we're very interested in exploring, particularly in the first day, is this notion of intersectionality, that we don't just come in terms of our sexuality, we bring also our culture, our age, our degree of ableness, our whole person. And so it's important that we make the links around discrimination across all areas, whether it's racism, sexism and such like. They're all part impact on people's well-being.
How is the sponsorship program going? I notice you've got the Embassy of the Kingdom of the Netherlands among your sponsors.
We are very excited by that. They have secured a large amount of funding, which means that we're able to bring up to 15 people from the Pacific, so fully fund them, but pay airfares, accommodation and registration.
Because that's often a problem, isn't it, from people from some of these countries. There's
right.
No funding for any of this activity.
That's right. And to be able to do that has been an amazing, exciting thing. We're also approaching, hopefully, for some other countries to get some people from Asia to do the same thing. The really interesting challenge has been the lack of response from more of the countries such as Australia and New Zealand governments to provide funding for people from other countries to arrive, or particularly Indigenous people. So I think that's a real challenge, is how do we make that a priority to get people there?
That's surprising. You would have thought the Australian government would show at least some interest. Anything from the Victorian government at all?
We haven't approached them directly. We had been working with the High Commission in Australia. It's still not impossible, but once again, one of the things that we are encouraging is human rights organisations within Australia and New Zealand to ensure that we get people there. But it's a difficult time. Like 2-3 years ago, if we had had the degree of commercial sponsorship would have been much more, but we're facing much more difficult financial times. Even the outgoings, we're finding commercial sponsors has been much more of a challenge than other years.
Okay, so when does the conference take place?
Well, the whole festival goes from the 12th to the 19th of March. The conference itself is the last 3 days, 17th, 18th and 19th of March. It's a 3-day conference being held in our town hall in Wellington. We have over 110 people presenting different streams. We have 6 streams, different themes: work, school and education, health, health and well-being, the issues of telling our story, so the issues of archives and queer history, and then also around faith. Because one of the things, particularly like in Pacific and in Asia, you cannot talk about human rights and the impact that's around sexuality without talking about the impact of religion and religious views.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem in some countries, isn't it? Certainly in Fiji, for example, there's quite a strong human rights movement. But on the other hand, the churches are quite strong as well. And and of course, the Mormon Church is quite influential in the Pacific.
Yeah. And they've
not been exactly friendly towards the gay community in many places.
Yeah, and so we are looking at, so one of the speakers is Michael Stevens, who is a sociologist in sociology of religion, is going to be doing a paper on looking at the role of church both as being an enabler of human rights and at times a barrier to it, and how do we use that to learn from the for the future. So, you know, once again, it's about that intersectionality. What does it mean, for instance, to be a gay Muslim, and how do I deal with that and respond to it in a healthy way and navigate the both the richness of my religious tradition, but also at times the things that make it difficult because of intolerance around sexuality.
Yeah. And of course, the other thing we should say about the conference and the games as a whole is that it's a major networking opportunity. It's an opportunity for activists and people working in the various fields to get together, to exchange ideas, to make contact. That's probably, in many respects, one of its major benefits.
That's right. And what we are seeing as one of the strengths of the OutGames model by having these regional events is that, in fact, what we would like to see in the future is that each kind of conference, rather than just being one-off, is that we're building things that we can actually build stronger networks. Like, we're keen to almost build like a rainbow human rights watch. So, for instance, when issues are happening in Nepal, let's say, or something's been happening, like recently Sonoran, a group got arrested, discriminately, that in fact other countries, we are, in Australia and New Zealand, writing to our governments and demanding that our embassies take these issues up, that there is a much broader collective human rights movement rather than just what's happening. And that we're also learning from each other. A clear message that we got in our consultation preparing is the Asian countries said, we want to learn from Australia and New Zealand. How did you do social movement change to get the human rights legislation and such like through your countries?
Yeah, because we don't want to keep reinventing the wheel over and over again. It's often very difficult working here. I can tell you, in working in gay and lesbian news, for example, it's often difficult to get the Australian audience to pay attention to issues that are happening in other countries. They don't necessarily always see that there is a connection or why they should be involved. So something like this that brings people together, I think, is a great thing. Now, if people want to come to the conference, is registration open yet?
Yes, registrations are open. If you go to our webpage, www.wellingtonoutgames.com, and then click on registration, and then it takes you through. What you can do is register for the Out Games, and then you can register for events, so sports or the conference or different programs. So all the information there about the whole week is there in the on our website. And March is actually one of our greater times, good weather, to come to visit Wellington. And of course, it's only 3 hours away on a plane, and there are direct flights to Wellington.
Okie doke. Well, thank you very much for that, Barry. Well, keep us up to date with what goes on. We'll probably speak to you again before the conference itself actually gets going, before the games themselves actually get going. And any further news, do let me know, and we'll bring it to our listeners.
Great. Thanks for the time today.
You're more than welcome. That was Barry Taylor there. He's the convener of the Human Rights Conference at the Wellington Out Games. If you just Google wellingtonoutgames.com, you'll find their website, details on how to register, details of what's happening at the conference, and all the past press releases and so on they've put out telling you who the speakers and so on are. It's continuously updated, so there's always fresh news to be seen there.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.